This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. A lot to get to. We'll keep you up to speed on Terps basketball all night long. They're playing their first game in the Big Ten tournament. I was saying to our guy Ben Strober behind the glass, he'll be picking up your calls at 1-800-636-1067. I was saying to Ben, my guy DQ's got to show up. Juju Reese has got to show up. It's a rock fight right now as we're about a minute into it. You can check that out over on our sister station, the Team 980, but we'll keep you up to speed all night long. Kind of a boring night. Psych around the Beltway. Wizards not in action. After their big win last night in Motown, there's a Keyshawn George stat that we will get to you later on in the show. But this Wizards draft class between Keyshawn George, Bub Carrington, and Alex Czar have been absolutely phenomenal. And after a summer league in which they didn't really light the world on fire, I would say they have been much better here in the regular season, and they clearly there's an argument to be made that Washington could have three rookies on the first two teams when it comes to the all rookie team. I think you can make an argument that all three of their rookies should be on the damn first team. So they're continuing to compete. We'll touch on them a little bit later on. Caps went cold last night offensively as they were shut out by Darcy Kemper, of all folks, a guy that wasn't the best in between the pipes here in Washington, but you saw them last night. They're back in action tomorrow right here on The Fan. Nat spring training action earlier today. James Wood continuing. hit the ball and make contact every time at the plate. Another oppo for him. Robert Hassel hitting the ball well. And then, like we said, Terps in action right now. So a lot to cover over the next 3.5 hours. Chris Russell going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. But we'll get to the Commanders right off the bat here, as we usually do. Free agency continuing for this group. And Dante Fowler, the man known for the infamous tweet that we saw right before the start of the legal tampering period, late Sunday night, the tweet and delete, as I'm calling it, on the old X app. By the way, let's just keep a spade, call it a spade, keep it a band here, right? If you are going to tweet something, have the stones to not delete it. Do better, Dante Fowler. He's now back in Dallas with the Cowboys on a 1-year, $8 million deal. And it was someone that we talked about a lot right when the season ended. I was even saying it with myself and Denton Days. We do the in-game show here on The Fan. I was saying it toward the end of the season. Look, being real, right? You're probably going to get outpriced for Dante Fowler. And then realistically speaking, from a fit standpoint and what he actually provides, I know he had 10.5 sacks. I understand that. I've continued to dub it the quietest 10.5 sack season I have seen in a long time. Just wasn't very impactful outside of those sacks. And if you look at it, it was a stretch of 7 of them things in like 3 games. And he was kind of cold getting to the passer. You saw his inability to be disciplined rushing the passer, hitting the quarterback in the head several different times. Good locker room guy. Loved the effort that he brought. I thought he was a liability when you tried to stop the run. And he was a big reason why Washington couldn't set the edge consistently. So, happy trails to Dante Fowler as he signs a 1-year, $8 million deal in Dallas. One man's trash is another man's treasure. He was clearly upset, though, about the offer Washington put out there for him. And does he have reason to be upset? Not really, especially when you've made it very known that, you know, you're loyal. You want to play for Dan Quinn. You understood the situation for Washington if you're Dante Fowler. And I just didn't think it made sense to throw that type of money at him. I think Washington made the correct decision. I think they'll be proven right as we get into the regular season. Washington not done today, though, man. That second wave of free agency, we've continued to see Adam Peters maneuver there, right? Dietrich Wise, Jonathan Jones, two guys that I think may have a bigger impact than we all are anticipating. And we'll discuss that here as the show rolls on here tonight. But like Nate Herbig, signed from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let me just say this, and I'll be honest. Don't know a whole lot about Nate Herbig. I know he didn't finish last year because of a season-ending injury. But anytime you have the opportunity to bring in a former Pittsburgh Steeler, sign me up. Sign me up. I love bringing in guys from organizations that I want to emulate. As great as Washington's been under Dan Quinn and the culture that they've created, Pittsburgh's done it for years now. So that's somebody that you should want to emulate, man. He's a big, big dude in the middle of your offensive line. 6'4", 335 pounds, a big hog molly that's got the lower body stuff that they're looking for. And they brought back Mike Dieter yesterday, and I wasn't a fan of that move, but who knows if Mike Dieter, depending on how the draft goes, depending on how training camp goes, who knows if Mike Dieter ultimately makes the roster. Here's the thing, though, that I continue to say. I know what's out there, right? I know what's out there. John Keim, the dean of the Commanders beat, put out that they're leaning towards, you know, will likely move to tackle was the tweet. And I always listen to the John Keim report, always get some of the best nuggets that you hear on air from there because he's the most plugged-in guy on the beat, most seasoned guy on the beat. And one other thing that John Keim mentioned on the podcast is nothing set in stone. And I think that is so true, and I've tried to continue to reiterate that to you all. Nothing is set in stone. While I want Brandon Coleman to move to left guard with the acquisition of Laremy Tunsil, it's not a foregone conclusion that that's what happens, right? I'm not Dan Quinn. I'm not you know, Adam Peters, not Lance Newmark. I don't know ultimately how things are going to play out up front. But I think based off of what we saw from him in college on tape and based off what we saw last year, putting him back out on an island at the right tackle spot after he gave up 10 sacks, a league-leading 10 sacks, at the left tackle spot while not even playing full-time. Let's just talk about that, right? He did not start taking over 100% of the snaps until week four. So, look, it is what it is. I'm a Brandon Coleman guy. I think Brandon Coleman has the chance to be a potential all-pro. You're damn right. You don't got to clean your ears out. I think he has all-pro potential at the guard position. You think about what his strength was last year at left tackle. It's his ability to get hands on people and move you in the running game. The lateral quickness that he showed. Now, to his credit, right, we talk about 10 sacks. He went up against one of the most decorated group of pass rushers that you can go up against in a season. Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, Trey Hendrickson, you name it. He went up against some hog mollies. Za'Darius Smith gave him the blues. He went up against some dudes last year on that island. I'm just saying, with how good he is in the run game, you put an athlete like that that's got the strength. We know it ain't because he's a big dude. We know it ain't because he's not strong enough. You put him inside a guard in a phone booth, I think he's got the ability to anchor. He's obviously going to have to change his body a little bit. You want to increase your lower body strength for the reason I just named, to be able to anchor and drop your base in the pass game when dudes are trying to bull rush you. So that's important. But, man, he is as strong as an ox, it seems like to me, especially when he was out there on the edge in the run game. So you now solidify the left side of your offensive line, and then I look at it a step further, the battery of your offensive line, your center guard-center combo, or your guard-center guard combo, excuse me, is now set for the next 4-5 seasons with Coleman, Biadasz, Cosby when he's healthy. So the other thing that people, and I worried about it, I'm people when I say people, Cornelius Lucas lost to the Cleveland Browns. He had been this franchise's swing tackle over the past 3-4 seasons. I've said it once, I'll say it again. You kick Coleman inside the guard and then you beef up the interior depth that you have. And I think Nate Herbig is someone that makes this team, in my opinion. He is big and moves people, right? Like, he's started, 60 games throughout his career? A guy that's a little bit better as a run blocker? Go back to 2023. 12th best run blocking grade amongst all centers in the National Football League. Zero penalties. So that was as the starting center for Pittsburgh. So, look, Shawty can play. I like him on the interior of this offensive line. Maybe he competes if they do move Coleman to tackle, which I would not recommend. Maybe they move Coleman to tackle. You have him compete with Andrew Wiley. But then here's the other thing. I go back to it. I wanted to beef up the interior of the offensive line because it allows you to start Coleman at left guard and then also have him double as your swing tackle in case of emergency on the perimeter. That's why you give yourself several options, which is why I think bringing in Herbig, a guy that's got experience, guy that's had success in this league, was paramount. They needed to improve the interior with more depth like this. I like this move a hell of a lot more than Michael Dieter. And maybe Pittsburgh fans will humble me on the situation, but Nate Herbig greater than Mike Dieter.
This offense at times last year became one-dimensional, essentially, because it was unable to run the football.
Exactly.
And I think a big reason for that is not because of Brian Robinson, not because of Austin Ekeler. A lot of it is because we could not get push from the offensive line. Every single time the running back was getting the football, he was met in the backfield instantly. I need guys on this offensive line that are pushing, that are moving people off the football. We need to create holes for the running back. I know that a big need this offseason is to find that home run hitter as a running back. We'll get more to that later on this show, Linnell. But bottom line, you cannot win football games with the offensive line not run blocking well enough to win. And at times last year, Washington could not run the football well enough to win games. I know Jaden scrambled a ton to kind of bail him out, but as you mentioned yesterday, that's going to change this year. He cannot scramble as much as he did in the you know, in the future and the present, because that's not a sustainable way to move the football, essentially, for your quarterback's health's sake.
For sure, especially someone like Jaden, who is slight of frame. I'll say this, too. He's bigger than I gave him credit for, is what I will say. But to your point, like, there's so many reasons why I really like the Nate Herbig signing today. And I think the bigger picture thing is this. They have continued to work and maneuver this second wave of free agency. And I'll be honest with you, there are people out there that are complaining and crying and moaning about what they haven't done. I think they've done a lot. And I think they've set themselves up to have the world be in the palm of their hands come April in the NFL draft. You know why? Look at how they're shopping in that second wave of free agency went last year. Nick Allegretti, a guy who you probably look at as a key reserve, but a culture piece for you, a part of the fabric and DNA of this team for the next 2-3 years. You got him for the cheap last year in this second wave of free agency, right? Olamide Zaccheaus. Think about the reaction when Olamide Zaccheaus was signed last year, comparing it to the actual production, right? Noah Igbinoghene, a guy last year that came in here and was damn serviceable for you and played a pretty big role on your team. Dante Fowler, another example, right? So when I look at a Dietrich Wise, I go, that's a guy that's been in New England, but you put him here in Washington in a different situation with a different coaching staff, use a different way, maybe you get more out of him, similarly to how you got more out of Olamide Zaccheaus, right? So Javon Kinlaw, another good example. Javon Kinlaw, I think, is sort of like your Noah Igbinoghene type of comparison because of the age. Noah is a former first-round pick that struggled to catch on in other destinations throughout the NFL. He came in here, you gave him an opportunity, and he played damn well. And he's right in the mix, to me, to be your starting slot corner once again next year. So when you look at Javon Kinlaw, someone that struggled at times, right, a young kid, and his sound from earlier today, we'll play it for you a little bit later on. I mean, he wants to be here. I love it. He is a big man with bad intentions that I think can have a real impact on this roster next year. So for all of the folks that are concerned about the lack of star power, I would say, from this free agency class, and specifically at the defensive end spot is what I'm really bringing that comparison up for, talking about this shopping and how it went last year in this department, so to speak. See, free agency, you could choose to move a couple of different ways. Free agency, you could choose to shop at Neiman Marcus, or you could choose to shop at Fashion Nova. And I think last year, Washington went to Fashion Nova and became one of the flattest teams in the NFL, if you pick up what I'm putting down. So I think they're maneuvering this year in that second wave of free agency, Dietrich Wise, Jonathan Jones, Nick Allegretti, Eddie Goldman, guys that, you know, aren't household names. Olamide Zaccheaus was not a household name before last year, but you see the type of impact that you can have when you're in a certain situation. Washington's next opportunity to acquire talent coming up here is in the NFL draft. Anything is possible when it comes to the NFL draft. I want to put that out there. I think anything is possible when it comes to the NFL draft. I don't know which way they're going to go. And quite frankly, no one else does either. I don't even think they do. Anything is possible. But as I always say, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. Draft season's coming up. People are going to have wants. People are going to have needs. And I think you're going to have to roll with the punches. As we get geared up to get to the top of the 7 o'clock hour here, we'll keep you up to speed on Terps in Illinois. They're up 24-10 with 12:25 left to go in the opening half. It has been pretty much all Terps to this point. Really love the defense and their ability to hold Illinois to just one possession. They're shooting the ball well to start here. Saw Rodney Rice knock down the trail. We'll keep you up to speed on that all evening long. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Washington has three massive decisions to make between now and the NFL draft. Tell you what three of those decisions, tell you what three next on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting moving and grooving right here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. A lot to get to. Quick update for you on the Terps. Game one for them, wow, in the Big Ten tournament. And just to show you what type of night it's been, Rodney Rice just canned a and-one triple from the corner. Looked like right in front of the Illinois bench. Terps up 35-15 with 8:27. Left to go in the opening half. Rodney Rice on one. 5 of 6 from downtown in the opening half. He's got 18 points as Maryland holds a 21-point lead. Illinois played yesterday. So credit to them, I guess, for fighting hard, I guess. But
Maryland's been bad out of long breaks
this
season. And Willard talked about that a little bit. When they asked him about how does it feel to have 6 days off, and I would have gone crazy if that went in. But, man, they have come out firing in this game. You love to see that.
Yeah, they have, and the defense has really been the catalyst for this to me. Like,
it's gotten better
each week.
When they
make shots, you make shots, but they have defended at a really, really high level here tonight. As you see, loose balls, they're getting to them, not really allowing extra possessions. For Illinois at this point, I think they've been brilliant to this point. We'll keep you up to speed as the show rolls on here tonight. But this is, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start if you're Kevin Willard, and knowing what type of team Illinois is, don't really think they are built to come back from an 18-point lead in the opening half. But we know how Maryland gets. Their offense, as hot as it is right now, oh my Lord. Rodney Rice, call God. 6 of 7 from 3 to start. And this is why folks think that this team has the potential to go on a potential deep run in the NCAA tournament. Because we know what they do on the defensive end. We know what they have on the interior with the reigning Big Ten Freshman of the Year, Derek Queen. And he showed up to this point as well. 6 points, 5 boards, a block already to this point. Missed a free throw off an and one, but we'll live with it. Like, this team has a real opportunity to do something special in the tournament, man, if they're going to play this way.
Teams that are built for March just have bucket getters at the guard position. Maryland's got 3 guys that can just get you buckets. Rodney Rice is the one that's cooking right now. Gillespie just hit that 30-footer before the timeout right there. You have Selton Miguel, who supplements really nicely as a bucket getter himself. If you have all 3 of those guys going on a given night, Well, they're not going to lose.
That's the one thing, though. That is, to have all three of them going is, I think to have all three of them going, you need Derek Queen going, because that means it's, they're getting open looks because of teams being forced to collapse on him. It's all good old-fashioned drive and kick basketball.
No, that's swing pass game.
Yeah, for sure.
You get it to Queen down low. He skips it over to the wing. One more to the corner. It's open every single time. It is always open.
We'll keep you up to speed all night long here on Terps in Illinois, as they're up 21 with 7:06 left to go in the first half here. We get back to the Commanders here, as they were active earlier today. In the second wave of free agency, they have continued to make moves, and someone just tweeted something at me that Sam Cosmi moving to right tackle is insanity. Whoever said that, I wouldn't think that would be something that they think about doing. But them in this second wave of free agency, them in this bargain bin area of free agency, you saw it last year, the guys that they were able to acquire in this department, so to speak, really had a major impact. Nick Allegretti, not a big signing, not a household name. Guy that wasn't a full-time starter in his career ever. Olamide Zaccheaus, the same situation. He comes in, gives you a career high in every major statistical category. Noah Igbinoghi, former failed first-round pick that it turned into a journeyman at 26, came in and gave you solid play. Like, I think Washington's moves, this free agency, really replicate a lot of what they were able to do last year. Obviously, this time around, they're more active in the trade market, but their next opportunity to acquire talent is the NFL draft. And the one thing I will say about the draft to fans, listeners, anybody who cares about it, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. They are in a situation right now where there's a gazillion different ways I can justify them ultimately going in the draft. And here's the thing. It's not just the draft that Washington's got to think about. There are three massive decisions that Washington has to make between now and the start of the NFL draft. They've done their work and gone bargain bin shopping at Fashion Over Men's, as I like to say. You know what's crazy? I'm talking about Fashion Over Men's and bargain bin shopping. My entire outfit right now is from Fashion Over Men's. So shout out to Fashion Over Men's. But, man, those second-tier signings, I think, will have a bigger impact than maybe we're anticipating, leaving you the opportunity to go best player available when it comes to the draft. We'll get into the draft. Washington with three major decisions. First of which, to me, do you trade for Trey Hendrickson? Do you make that decision to try and bolster your pass rush? You've signed Dietrich Wise. You've brought in Eddie Goldman. You've brought in Javon Kinlaw. Do you get the difference maker on the edge with Trey Hendrickson? Man, I just feel like there's a lot to think about when it comes to that. Do you want to pay him? And are you in a situation where you're comfortable giving up the draft capital? Earlier today, or was it, yesterday, our guy Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan had, I'm blanking on my man's name. He had Cam Wolf, excuse me, from the NFL Network on. And Cam had this to say about potential asking price for Trey Hendrickson.
Trey Hendrickson is available to an extent for trade. But what I found is teams have called Cincinnati and the price has been outrageous. And one team executive told me that it was a crazy ask, and that they were asking for a first-round pick and more for Trey Hendrickson, which to this team felt high because of his age, 30, and the fact that he was going to demand a contract worth more than $30 million. They also believed that price would drop at some point. They just didn't know when that would be. And so the Commanders certainly are trying their best to get the most out of their assets. Obviously, Jamar Chase, they have to pay a big contract over $40 million. T. Higgins, they'd like to keep, but they aren't really there yet for the contract. And so teams have called about him and trade as well. But Trey Hendrickson is certainly the one that seems the most gettable. We just got to see ultimately when Cincinnati is willing to come down from that first round.
So Cam Wolf saying that the asking price that he heard from a team was a first-round pick for Trey Hendrickson. And I think knowing where your roster is, it's a massive decision that you have to make. Are you willing to part ways with more draft capital to acquire another guy that doesn't have forever left, but you can probably predict you'll get a good 2 to 3 seasons from him, 3 to 4 seasons maybe, when you talk about the way Trey Hendrickson takes care of himself and his injury history over the duration of his career to this point. It's a major decision. It's one of 3 massive decisions that I think Washington has to make. Do you pull the trigger and give up 29 for Trey Hendrickson? The other decision is this. Are you going to stick and pick in the first round and in the second round at pick number 29 overall, at pick 61 overall? Does that make sense to you? Because, see, here's the thing. It ultimately depends on who is going to be there. It ultimately depends on who's going to be there and then how comfortable they feel with the depth that we're, the people that we're calling depth that they brought in. The other major decision is this. If you're the Washington Commanders, you got to think long and hard here. And I'm not saying that there is some pressing need here. I'm not saying that you have to do something or else. But if you're Washington, looking at what you've done to this point this offseason at wide receiver, you have a major decision to make when it comes to, well, are you going to get in on the veteran wide receiver market? Because there are still super intriguing names left on the board that have yet to be signed. That's the thing here. There are super intriguing names that have not been signed yet on the veteran wide receiver market. And if you're Washington, knowing what you have, right, you brought back K.J. Osborne. I love bringing back Noah Brown. You have Terry McLaurin. You obviously have Luke McCaffrey. You made the trade for Debo. So it's not some major necessity there. But the veterans that are left on the wide receiver market, when it comes to veterans, it's intriguing. It's intriguing. There are names out there that make you go, should I be in on it? We saw Cooper Kupp sign about 10, 15 minutes ago, right at the start of the show. We saw him sign. He was a name that I thought was kind of intriguing. Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, Elijah Moore, Brandon Cooks, Tyler Boyd. These are guys that have had major production in their career still available. If you're a Washington, you have to think, hey, should I be in on the veteran wide receiver market? It's one of 3 major decisions that the Commanders have to make between now and the NFL draft. Do you trade for Trey Hendrickson? Are you going to stick and pick at pick number 29 and 61? Are you going to engage this veteran wide receiver market? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. What is the biggest of the 3 decisions that Washington has to make? I'll tell you that next on The Fan. Welcome back. It's Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge of L. Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. Chris Russell going to join the program in the 8 o'clock hour. Get you a quick update. Terps still in the driver's seat. 18-point lead with 327 and change. Or 327 and counting, excuse me, left to go in the opening half. I mean, it has been all Terps. Jordan Geronimo's got 7. He hit his first 3-pointer of the season. I don't know how many career 3-pointers Jordan Geronimo has, but if you were looking for a sign for the Terps that they're hot, Jordan Geronimo knocking down a Trey ball. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the defense for this group, they get you excited, man, with the effort that they play with. And I was going back and forth with, like, man, I said it facetiously, like, I hope they get bounced in the opening round because I want them to go on an extended run in the NCAA tournament. And sometimes you need some humble pie, so to speak, to refocus you. college football this past year when Ohio State lost to Michigan. That was the loss that got them to win the national championship. That was the moment they turned everything around. So I looked at the Terps and go, man, for a team that I think really has potential to make a run, them losing tonight wouldn't be the worst thing, but they have no intentions of doing that as they're all over Illinois. We keep you up to speed all night long on Maryland basketball. Right now, though, I want to take a look at the three biggest decisions that the Commanders have to make, three massive decisions that must be made before the NFL draft. One, do you trade for Trey Hendrickson? We played you the audio in the last segment of Cam Wolf of the NFL Network saying that it cost a first, at least for Cincinnati, to move off of Trey Hendrickson. And based off of the news that we got earlier today about how close they are right on the goal line when it comes to getting T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase locked up long term, I would think the more urgency that happens with that, the more likely it is that maybe they can then work on Trey Hendrickson. But that's a big decision if you're Washington. Do you part ways with more significant draft capital to plug a major hole on your roster? I see both sides of it. I honestly do. The other big decision is, are you going to stick and pick at 29 and 61? There's going to be a lot of dialogue between now and the start of the NFL draft. Well, what should they do? Should they trade back? One thing I've heard, and I've even said it, but the more and more I think about it, is that what they should do? I don't know if they're locked into trading back or not. I would say that because of the picks that are missing based off of acquiring these veterans, you would think. But, like, realistically speaking, if there's someone there at 29, you're not turning down good football players to acquire more picks. The other big decision is this. Are you going to engage in this veteran wide receiver market? And I have, let me just get this out in the open. I have no qualms with what they've done to this point at wide receiver, right? I like bringing back Noah Brown. Would have liked to brought back Olamide Zaccheaus, and I know just people internally there are kind of bummed that they couldn't bring him back. He is a Commander through and through. From the effort that he shows, the ability to just always be ready. I mean, think about it, was two times this year you saw him hustle balls to the wall down the field and recover a fumble. In the Chicago game, I think that happens. The game can be different if you don't recover that fumble. So he does all of the little things. He is a glue guy, a culture guy. You lost him to Chicago. Don't like that. But you brought back KJ Osborne, and it feels like most folks are, I would say, maybe sleep on re-signing KJ Osborne. Here's the thing with KJ. He had more career production than Noah Brown throughout his career before coming here to Washington. KJ Osborne has been the number three in Minnesota for the past three, four seasons. He got traded, obviously, to New England and then ultimately cut. But he's a guy that I think with a full offseason, a full training camp, has the potential to round out this wide receiver room nicely. So they've done good things. You brought back Deebo Samuel. But should they be in on the veteran wide receiver market? Depending on the price, I would say maybe, yeah, Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs, Cooper Kupp signed earlier, but guys of that nature. But to me, the biggest of the three decisions for Washington, because I think you got to think about it all, trading for Trey, do you stick and pick, do you engage the vet wide receiver market? Damn, Maryland's up 24 as Illinois is going to have the final shot in possession of the half. Good God. Of those three decisions that you have to make, I think the biggest to me is, are you going to stick and pick at 29? Because there's a lot of different ways you could go with 29 and 61. And it feels like when you move off of the significant capital that you have, you assume that, okay, they're going to try and accumulate more picks by trading back. It seems too easy. Well, if Jahad Campbell, the linebacker, do-it-all defensive player out of Bama is there at 29, are you giving that pick away? If Omarion Hampton, the running back out of UNC, is there at 29, are you giving away that pick? Malachi Starks, safety out of Georgia,
who most people have as a top 20 player in this draft. If he is on the board at 29, do you just move off of the pick? That's the thing. It's a massive decision to make. And I think it's ultimately influenced by whether or not, and here's a name that I'm going to throw out, a couple of names. I think Azeez Ojulari is someone that, according to John Kime, they have contacted. I look at Von Miller. Now, they haven't reached out to Von's representatives yet to this point, but I think what they do at edge, if they get in on the veteran wide receiver market, if they trade for Trey, that's going to influence, obviously, the decision at 29. But to me, man, like, the draft is your next big opportunity to acquire cheap, controllable talent that can help you right now. And I think whether or not they stick and pick, if they don't trade back, I would have to believe it's because they got a player that they could not believe was going to be there. And that's a really good position to be in. That's why, to me, their ability to build out depth via free agency the way that they have, I think it sets them up for them to do whatever the hell they want when it comes to the NFL draft. It sets them up to go BPA. It sets them up to trade back. But I think that choice, to me, is the biggest decision, or one of the biggest decisions of this offseason.
Kind of makes me wonder if, come draft day, let's say they get to pick 23, 24, and the three guys, maybe three or four best players available, all at different positions they had their eyes on, say they go earlier before that, do we see a potential last-minute trade to move back if they don't feel like the guys that they necessarily really wanted are going to, or they're not there anymore at 29? Or do you think they'll just say, you know, we got other guys that we have our eyes on at 29, let's just stay there and pick them?
So the other thing with this is, according to multiple folks who cover this on a day-to-day basis talking about the draft, in terms of pick 20 through 60 in this draft, you're going to get similar-level talent. This is why it's so important, what I keep saying. You treat free agency is if the draft doesn't exist, because there's no saying who's going to be there. But, like, if you're Washington, this is a decision that doesn't happen until draft night, right? This is a decision that doesn't happen until you're actually on the clock. So whether or not they stick and pick, I think, has a lot to do with if they're going to be picking around, and I would have to believe that they are, on this veteran pass rusher market still, with names like Azeez Ojulari, who's, I think, could be in the mold of that Noah Igbinoghi type of cat, still just, what, 26, 27 years of age, and hasn't really hit his ceiling yet in other destinations. Do they want to go the veteran route for the cheap, depending on the contract, and replace Dante Fowler with another situational pass rusher, but one that's got a lot of experience in Von Miller? I think everything is on the table. And here's the one thing we can't do. We can't act as if you can forecast any decision that this group is going to make. Point blank, period. And that's, I guess, the beauty about it. But when it comes to 29 and 61, I think, like, that to me, there's so many different ways they can go. They're, based on what they've done, I don't think, and it may be different to others, because I've kind of had an epiphany on this over throughout the day here, as I'm deciding what I'm going to discuss with you all here tonight. I don't think they have a glaring need right now. I don't. To where they would have to take someone at 29 at a certain position. And people are going to say, edge rusher, edge rusher, edge rusher. Dude, look at the bodies they have on the edge. Whether you all want to believe it or not, I think they're extremely high internally on Javonte Jean-Baptiste. And if he doesn't get hurt last year, I think he may have been one of your starting edge rushers by season's end. Guy that's got length at 6'6", can set the edge, has enough juice as a pass rusher. They like him. He's in the mix. Right? Dorrance Armstrong, he is in the mix. Javon Kinlaw is going to play some defensive end. He's in the mix. They bring in Dietrich Wise, a guy that's played a lot of snaps over the past several years. He's in the mix. You look at Jacob Martin, who they brought in late last night, a guy that's played 3-4 outside linebacker, right, as well as your traditional 4-3 defensive end. So just because the names don't resonate with you, it doesn't mean that they're going to come in here and be buns. Have you not learned from last year with Olamide Zaccheaus and Nick Allegretti and others? Like, they live in this second tier of free agency.
Remember last year when there was all those numbskulls on Twitter that were saying Commanders are having one of the worst free agencies I've ever seen, exactly, despite having some of the most cap space. And those same people are saying the same thing this year. Did they not watch this football team last year?
I think it's
Did they not see that they hit on almost every free agent except for maybe Cleveland Farrell and obviously Michael Davis?
This is the difference, though. For years, we have had incompetency in the front office, so people have gotten comfortable challenging the decision-making of people who literally get paid to do this all day, all night. If you don't think they're watching tape and grinding tape, the pro scouts, the college scouts, Adam Peters, they showed you what they're about over there. They're all on the same page. It's why they were able to turn things around so quickly.
Yep.
They have a plan. So that's my thing that I continue to hit on. And it's why I've had like sort of this epiphany of like, man, they're actually, they like their roster. I like where they're at right now. There's no glaring hole, especially after adding Nate Herbig today. Now, I think I would like another option at tackle, right? And I don't know if that'll be by way of a veteran or in the draft, but I don't think there's a glaring hole on this roster right now. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll take your calls. Plus, we'll get into, should the Commanders engage the veteran wide receiver market? Your call's next. The number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Rocking and rolling here on a Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Terps, BTA, when it comes to the Illinois Fighting Illini, 24th ranked team in the country, I might add. But to Illinois' credit, second night of a back-to-back after they had to earn the right to take on the Terps. Maryland up 57-31 in the opening half. They're on pace for damn near. I mean, they're in a crazy spot. And as Ben just told, they've turned Illinois over 11 times. They have, and I continue to say it every time I talk about this group, they have all of the recipe. They have all the ingredients, rather, to go on a long run, a potential Final Four, Elite Eight run in the NCAA tournament. Guys at the guard spot that can go get it. A guy on the interior, Derek Queen, that commands attention, and when he's really going, you got to get extra eyes and extra help on him. And then the defense. I'm super impressed about what they've been able to do to this point. They're up 57-31 at the half. Maryland right now, not even really shooting it the best. 45.5% from the field, but it's the three-point line that's really been the difference. 8 of 14 from beyond the arc for Maryland. Rodney Rice, I believe, with 5 of those 8 threes for the Maryland Terrapins. It has been absolutely all Terps here to start. We'll keep up the speed throughout the duration of the show on this one, but odds are they're probably not going to get back into this thing. Chris Russell going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, I'm going to go out to the phones at 1-800-636-1067. To me, I'll be real with you. I think the Commanders and Adam Peters and company, and maybe I'm biased here, but they've really hit it out of the park to me when it comes to this offseason, and here's why. We're at a point right now where I don't think you're entering draft season with any glaring holes on this roster. I just don't feel that way. Now, obviously, you all feel how you feel about Edge. But I look at the Dietrich Wise signing. I look at Javon Kinlaw's versatility, potentially. Jacob Martin, a guy that they brought in, former 3-4 outside linebacker, as well as 4-3 defensive end. They may not be household names, but neither was Olamide Zaccheaus. Neither was Noah Igbinoghene. Obviously, Fowler, a former first-round pick. They got you 10.5 sacks on the cheap. But, like, I don't go into the draft thinking they have some major need. I think they got three major decisions, as I've said. Do you trade for Trey Hendrickson? Do you stick and pick at 29 and 61? And do you engage this veteran wide receiver market? At this point in time, are you okay with where things stand? Do you believe they have a glaring need as we get geared up for the NFL draft? Should they engage the wide receiver market? And then more importantly, do you pull the trigger on a Trey Hendrickson trade? 1-800-636-1067. Mike is in Atlanta. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, man? I think people just need to relax. And Adam Peters, we trust. Adam Peters has a long-term plan. Of course, we would like to take advantage of Jaden's rookie contract, but he still has 3 years left in his contract. One thing we've noticed about AP, he's not going to overspend on people. He's not going to trade draft capital and pay max dollars for players. If he does make trades, he's given up some draft picks, but he's going to do low-risk, high-reward trades. So we're not going to trade 3 first rounds and pay $40 million to Myles Garrett. He's not going to do that. He's not going to sacrifice the good of the team for one player. And as you've said, I mean, we've gotten a lot out of a lot of players. I remember last year when we signed Wagner and Ertz. Oh, those guys are old. They're washed up. Look how big of contributors those guys were to this team. And he's going to try to continue to build through the draft. Yes, he gave us some draft capital, but we still have a first-round pick. We still have a second-round pick. And we can also find picks in some of those later rounds that are going to contribute to this team. So everyone needs to take a deep breath, relax. We're continuing to improve the roster. We're building depth. And when it's time, if he needs to make that big trade, he'll make it. But it takes time. This is a marathon, not a sprint. So I'm going to continue to trust in Adam Peters and get him to evaluate talent, make the right trades. We made it to the NFC title game this year. In 1 year, no one saw that coming. So I don't understand why fans are trying to go back to the old guard and sign the Albert Haynesworth for $100 million. Like, that's going to make the change. That's not what it's going to take to build this roster long term. So everyone just relax. Let them build this roster, let them build depth, and let's see how it pans out. But we still have time to build a long-term contender, not just push all our chips into the middle of the table for 1 year. So I'm going to continue to trust in Adam Peters and see how he handles it.
For sure. Appreciate the call, Mike. Ed is in Springdale. What's up, Ed?
Hey, yeah. How you doing, Linnell? I think we really need to get a running back. I'm not convinced that Brian Robinson or Eckler is the answer. So I think we need to draft someone like a Trey Henderson or a Dylan Sampson, and then also try to get an edge as well. So yeah.
So I agree with you. I think obviously you can upgrade at the running back position, but I wouldn't consider it a glaring need, right? I wouldn't consider it like you have to take running back at 29. You have to take one at 61. I think they're in a position right now where they've improved their offensive line by kicking Brandon Coleman to the inside, if that's the move that ultimately gets made. That's what I think is best for them. And let's just be real here. The run game tailed off when the injuries piled up along the O-line. And I like the depth that they're creating there. And I know bringing in Nate Herbig is just one move. But he's a guy that's got starting experience in the NFL, that's played well, he's coming off of an injury. But I think the running game and why it failed last year wasn't on the backs all the way, right? It was as much on the offensive line to me as well. And I think that group, by the addition of Laremy Tunsil, is better because you kick Coleman inside, and now he's a more stout run blocker than Nick Allegretti was. When Cosme comes back, your guard-center-guard combo of Coleman, Biadasz, and Cosme is going to be one of the best in the NFL. So I think that improves the run game, but of course I'd be down for a running back. If Amarion Hampton is there at 29,
I'm turning the card in, depending on who else is there. That's why I think the idea of trading back isn't just a foregone conclusion. You there, Ed?
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know. I agree that the line had a lot to do with it. But when we lost B-Rob and we just had Eckler, or when we just had Eckler and we didn't have B-Rob, I felt like we got hurt. So somebody that can do what both of them do and is a little younger than Eckler, someone that we need can have for the future, I really think that that's something we need to look at.
100% agree. 100% agree, Ed. Appreciate the call. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, another update for you. We're underway in the second half between the Terps and Illinois. We'll also discuss what we were talking about a moment ago. Three massive decisions for the Commanders to make. The one I want to take a look at as we take your calls on the other side is, should the Commanders engage this veteran wide receiver market? I'll tell you my thoughts next on The Fan. is the number on the phone lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Ben, I will tell you in a moment what I almost just did. But it's overtime. You're on The Fan. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Terps all over Illinois. They're up 26 with 15:40 and counting left to go in the second half. Maryland shooting a blistering 8-for-15 from beyond the arc. They had 57 points in the opening half, and they don't look like they're slowing down anytime soon. Three starters in double figures, 12 for Derek Queen. He's got 9 boards, 12 for Jacoby Gillespie, as well as 18 points from Rodney Rice. He's got 5 threes, so Maryland all over Illinois right now. I want to give a shout out too to Jordan Geronimo. He was been awesome off the bench. 9 points.
My guy.
Including, I don't know if that's his first career three, but his first three of the season, as they have been all over Illinois here. The defense, the 3-point shooting, it's everything we know that this Terps team is capable of. I know they were peaking earlier at Oregon and Michigan State as Coach Izzo's squad advances to the next round of this tournament. And the Jace Richardson show continues as he has been on a tear here in the second half of the season. 17 for him earlier. More impressive, getting downhill and getting to the free throw line. 10 attempts from the young freshie earlier today as they knocked off a potentially dangerous Oregon team. They're an Oregon team that I think, depending on who they draw in the tournament, another group that can make a run. They've got some depth. But we'll keep you up to speed on the Terps as we roll throughout the rest of the program here. Chris Russell going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. A lot more to get to, including Connor Orr of the MMQB podcast. He was on with Albert Breer earlier this week and had some very interesting comments about the Commanders' offseason to this point. We'll also go around the NFL in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, though, taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Washington, there are three big things that still have to be decided before the draft. And I think to this point, they have knocked the offseason out of the park. You've gotten a hell of a lot better on offense, and the depth of your defense, I think, has improved quite a bit, right? The big moves, obviously, Tunsil and Deebo Samuel on offense, but to me, man, some of the defensive moves I'm more of a fan of when I think about their thought process than maybe initially thought. Like Dietrich Wise, people weren't geeked up. People weren't, getting their Twitter fingers hot when he was signed the other night. Because they look at him and go, well, okay, a guy that's, been in New England, he's Patriot. And played a lot, though. I think he fits the bill of that Nick Allegretti signing, that Olamide Zaccheaus signing, that Noah Igbinoghi signing from a year ago. Those guys come in here and they have a role for them. And it's a different program,
And it's just a different energy in this building. I can't really describe it to where I think they did a great job last year getting the absolute most out of all 53 guys on the roster. I expect it to be the same with the newest additions. The veteran wide receiver market to me is interesting as well. Should they engage it? It's another question that I had. When you talk about names like Stephon Diggs, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, guys that a little bit longer in the tooth, but have had major production in this league, are proven commodities to this point in this league. So I'm curious to see if they'll mess around with that. Mecole Hardman, a guy that I know they could be potentially interested in because of the speed that he has. Brandon Cooks. I mean, there are names out there, so it'll be interesting to see whether or not Washington ultimately goes after any of those dudes. But as we sit here a month and 2 weeks away from the draft, I don't think a major glaring hole exists on the roster. Lou is in D.C. Sub Lou.
Hey, big homie, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Yo, big, can you hear me?
Lou, we got you, brother.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, what AP is doing is, to me, is a phenomenal, man. What we doing is we flying under the radar. All these people talking all this nonsense, I ain't with it. I think if we play right now, lined up against Philly, we beating them. So that's how I'm feeling. But I'm not lying to you. I'm being serious. I mean, we upgraded from Benjamin St. Just to Jonathan Jones, and people talking about what's that dude? Jeremy Chin to was it Mike?
To Vegas.
I forgot his name.
You're talking about Jeremy Chin and Will Harris, yeah.
So come on, man. If you like, you talking about Fowler and the guy Dietrich Weiss. So I mean, dude, man. All I'm saying is, what we doing is we shopping in a bargain store and we getting all these players and they're gonna come in and they're gonna provide what we got from these guys from a year ago and maybe more.
That's
I expect.
That's the hope.
Exactly. And one more thing, as far as the receiver goes, I mean, I would love to get like that dude from Buffalo. I don't know if he signed yet, but I wouldn't want any of those guys that you named. But the guys from that barefoot dude, he'd be walking barefoot. I want him.
About Matt Collins. Yeah, he signed earlier this week with New England. So there are a couple of veteran names out there, Lou. We appreciate your call as always. Let's go to AP and Laurel. One shot, man. What's going on, AP?
What a do, Linnell.
What's going on, my man?
Man, long time, man. Hey, I'm with you on us staying active in the wide receiver market because I look at what we got. You know, we got a couple. We got a lot of role players. I mean, Scary Terry, Debo. You know, they could be our blue chippers. But you know, with Debo, I still think, you know, he may have a chip on his shoulder. So I think he, you know, he's got a lot to still prove, and we don't know which Debo we're going to get. So I definitely think we should try to, you know, just fine-tune our wide receiver core. Because, I mean, besides Scary Terry and maybe Debo, who are we going to keep up at night defensive coordinator-wise opposing to say, oh, man, I got a game plan for this guy, I got a game plan for that guy. You know, we need
Debo,
to have a...
Even with the Debo addition, AP, I think this is the first time since Terry's been here that there's been someone else on the offense that you have to game plan for. Now, obviously,
exactly,
Jaden last year in the quarterback position, but... To your point, for sure.
And let's be real. Like, Debo, he's a gadget guy. He's a Swiss Army knife. He's, in my opinion, I don't look at Debo as a true number two wide receiver. I look at him as a plug-and-play guy, you know, Swiss Army knife. But as far as going after Trey Hendrickson, whatever his name is, for the right price, you know, I don't want to mortgage off the future for one guy. And then before I leave, about a week and a half ago, you know, you were talking about who your radio comp or who your TV comp is. But as far as I'm concerned, your comp is Doc Walker. And you can hate me for it. You can believe it or not. That's your comp, man.
That is.
Because ever since I've seen you come into the fold, man, that's who you remind me of.
For sure. I appreciate the comp. But always flattering to be compared to one of the best. Appreciate you, AP. Enjoy your weekend, man. Long time no hear, man. I hope everything's well with you, man.
I know. Hell yeah, for sure, brother.
1-800-636-1067. More Friday Night Overtime coming up next. Rodney Rice, Taki Hot. 7 3-pointers, and he just hit his 8th in an and-one fashion. I don't know what the Big Ten tournament record is for threes made in a game, but with 8 of them, he's got to be challenging that. Get you up to speed on the Terps when we come back. Top of the 8 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital. Connor Orr from earlier this week of the MMQB podcast with some interesting things to say about Washington's rebuild. We'll get his thoughts on Washington's offseason next.